Let me happily take it.
How's that now? I lowered it.
Much better. Okay. Much better.
Sorry.
Thank you. Just stop yelling, Ed. Jesus.
I know. All right. Sorry.
Welcome to a very special episode of Three and a Half Gentlemen, the podcast where we normally provide a refined and intellectual analysis of movies from our private collections while one of us tries desperately to keep up. However, tonight will be the final episode where we will be providing some background information and get you ready for the newest Star Wars offering, Ahsoka, releasing this August. In these episodes, we'll be taking a look at some of the most pivotal and defining moments of the character of Ahsoka Tano, stretching from her younger days in Clone Wars into her older days in Rebels. We'll also be taking a look at some newer episodes that came out from Tales of a Jedi. So without further ado, my name is Sean, and with me as always are my co-hosts, Jeremiah.
What up, yo? Star Wars sucks.
Eddie.
I am no Jedi.
And Brandon.
Done with this shit, we finally are. There we go.
All right. So tonight we're going to focus on some episodes of Rebels. Jeremiah, what episodes are we going to focus on and from what season?
Fucking scattering.
So this is how we're going to do this. For Rebels, season 1, episode 15, which is called Fire Across the Galaxy. And then we're going to go to season 2, episode 1 and 2, The Siege of Lothal. And then also in season 2, we're going to go on to another episode, which is episode 18, which is Shroud of Darkness. And then we're going to actually do the last two episodes of season 2, which is called The Twilight of the Apprentice, which I thought that was pretty fucking dope.
That was pretty dope. I like that name. So the names of these are pretty dope.
And then we're going to go to season 4, episode 10, Jedi Knight. And then the last two episodes, which is episode 14 and 15, A Fool's Hope and A Family Reunion.
All right, so let's dive in, and if you're not familiar with Rebels, Rebels was a interesting show in that it really didn't hearken on any characters that we knew. It was all brand new characters.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of a history that we had. We had basically a boy who lived in Lothal, and he was like a thief. And in the first episode, he gets caught up with these other thieves that are the spark of the rebellion. They're like the beginning of what will become the rebels against the Empire. And in this crew, you've got a couple of really interesting characters. You've got Caleb Dune, Keenan Jarrus, who is played by Freddie Prinze Jr. He is like a Jedi who escaped Order 66.
Isn't it canon? It's not Keenan. It's canon.
It's Kanan.
In this one, he changed his name, actually. It was Caleb Doom, and then he changed his name to Keenan Jarrus.
Oh, sorry. I apologize.
So he has two alias, so to say. But he changed
his
name.
He's always Caleb Doom.
He changed his name after Order 66.
It's like Ben Kenobi and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. I gotcha. Okay.
So Kanan Jarrus, he was a child, kind of Padawan who escaped Order 66. You've got Hera, who is kind of the captain and leader. Sabine Wren, who's a relic of the Mandalorian Wars, kind of a young, hip
artist.
And then you've got Zeb, who's like this creature who actually we saw in Mandalorian season 3. And then we've got Chopper, who's the droid. And not to mention Ezra Miller, Ezra Bridger, excuse me.
Yeah,
Ezra Miller.
Who is the principal. And basically he's a force sensitive human being from the planet of Lothal who is drawn into this group. And then together he and Kanan Jarrus try to train, because Kanan Jarrus is not really a Jedi. He's more of like still a Padawan. So they're together trying to explore the Force and become better Jedi.
And he's like a Padawan. Like, he's like, hey, I have powers. Like, I'm using
them. Yeah, I don't really know how to use them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that is a badass lightsaber, which is like a gun and a lightsaber at the same time. Pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, that's
actually
pretty fucking cool. All right, so let's jump ahead to episode 14/15, which the reason I say that is because on IMDb, there actually is no episode 15, but it's episode 14 if you count the first two episodes, Spark of the Rebellion, as two episodes, like Clone Wars does on the show. So if you're looking for it on IMDb, it's episode 14, but on actual Disney Plus, it's episode 15, Fire Across the Galaxy. And coming into this, you have to understand that the Inquisitors have played a huge role in both Clone Wars and now this show. And the Inquisitors are, we saw them a little bit in Obi-Wan Kenobi. They're basically the henchmen of Darth Vader. They are the Force-sensitive people that he's found, turned to the dark side, and is using as his. They're not Sith. They are working on behalf of the Empire.
My question is, what is up with the double-edged lightsaber that Maul was like the cool one that had it? Now I swear every single bad guy seems to have it. So I know that maybe you could shed some light on why we have so many double-edged sabers.
Well, I mean, it's badass.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they can fly with it too.
That made me upset with the whole flying with it. That made it seem that's not possible. Why would you do that?
Well, it's not possible to jump like forever high into, you know.
Exactly. I mean,
they use it for their opportunity.
The Jedi you could jump. Okay, let's just say you can jump with the Force, but overall, use it as a helicopter, a lightsaber. It's just like, I don't know. That bugged me for some reason. I don't know why. Like, I wanted this. I like the double-edged lightsaber, but I was like, can't you just have a speeder or a ship?
I think it's a lightsaber with trainer wheels, because it's like, it's cool, but honestly, it's not really the greatest like weapon when you think about it. I mean, you can just spin it around, but you're not really a handful with the, like, you know, the lightsaber.
Overall, it looks scary.
It's got that, circle in the middle, and I'm like, as I'm watching the show, I'm like, hit it right in the middle, just poke him, poke his hands, and it's like,
he's normal, right in the middle.
I think it's ridiculous. I think they're searching for. They're searching for new ways to have cool lightsabers. I mean, why the fuck does Kylo Ren have the two little pointy fingers?
He's like a fucking knight. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I agree that it looks cool and it was badass when Darth Maul had it. But here's my frustration. And this is my frustration with the prequel, pre-trilogy, and everything else, is that we've never seen a double-edged lightsaber in episodes 4, 5, 6, right? So if all this is happening beforehand, and you've got all this fantastic, this is before 4, 5, 6.
Yep.
Yes.
This is
before,
This is pre. Right.
So what I'm saying is, when this is where I think George Lucas really screwed up in episodes 1, 2, and 3, is that they introduce so much new technology that should be reflected in 4, 5, 6.
Agree.
But just because we can do it now, right, with special effects and animation and all that, it doesn't mean that we should be doing that, right? Because we should be adhering to the fact that, you know, in 20 years time, in 15 years time, whenever it is, right? Or I guess it's about 15 years time, then, I mean, how much technology is being lost, right?
Well, it's not being lost, Brandon. It's almost like, but the thing we got to remember is that the Jedi or the Sith, they don't exist. We only have just like maybe two people in the 4, 5, and 6 that even have to, you know, have a lightsaber.
It would be cool if somehow one of these episodes, they bring in the idea of the lightsabers as a whole gets wiped out. Like, it's hard to come by, like, any of this. Yeah. Like, almost they went like back to the Stone Age of lightsabers, and only like a few have lightsabers.
Which would make sense with Luke.
Which you don't see, and I don't want to keep harping on what you don't see, because this is supposed to be an Ahsoka lead-up series. But Ezra Bridger had to work for his Kyber Crystal. He had to find a Jedi Temple. He had to go and through some trials to get his lightsaber when he finally got a lightsaber. It wasn't like he found it on the ground. The Kyber Crystal is becoming more and more difficult to find. You found that in Rogue One, where they were harvesting the Kyber Crystal and using it for other things. So I think that, Brandon, in part, you're right. George Lucas never envisioned such a broad, expansive universe.
Right.
But I will say this. Fuck you, because I want to see a broad, expansive universe. I'm sorry. I think that I understand your continuity issue.
Yeah.
But suck it up and just deal with it, because I want to see cool shit. I want to see cool lightsabers. I want to see cool lightsaber fights. I don't want to see old Vader and old Ben fighting on the fucking – I want to see shit that's like cool and new and aggressive. And I will say this about this show in particular. They were not afraid to kill people. They were not afraid to maim people. They were not afraid to like – really go aggressive, even though it was a cartoon, in really pursuing the evilness of the Empire. And I think that what this show gives you is two very important things.
Yeah.
Number one is is Admiral Thawne. And Admiral Thawne is a fucking great villain.
So we
he's going to be a great villain.
We didn't get enough of him in the episodes that we selected to really get an idea of who
he
is.
Yeah, you did not actually.
Can you give us the Cliff Notes intro to who he is? Because I think we saw him two times.
He's not the most deadliest. He's just very smart. And what he wants to do is that when he's hunting down something or he's interested in something, he wants to know the reasons what they do to get more of like a hindsight to beat them at their own game. He can fuck shit up. But
he has no force powers.
No force powers.
Interesting. Okay.
He's like, what is it? Napoleon in a lot of ways. He knows how to beat you before you even start with the battle and shit. Mm-hmm. He mind fucks the shit out of you.
Okay.
The way I always like to think of him is, you know how Grand Moff Tarkin was brutal and vicious? Mm-hmm. He blew up the entire planet of Alderaan just to show the power of the Death Star?
Yeah.
Admiral Thawne would do the same thing, except for he would find the one thing, achieve his end, whatever end that would be, and he would use that as the predicate for blowing up a planet like Alderaan. He would destroy the rebellion at the same time he is blowing up the planet. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't just use it as a show of force. Everything that he does is with purpose and to extract something. So even if he loses, he wins.
Yeah.
So the arc that he has is basically overcoming Lothal. He essentially destroys Lothal. Mm-hmm. And he does it not with guns and with military people, but by making the rebellion look stupid and foolish and dangerous and not to be followed.
Yeah. He looks like a guy who has like multiple different, like he's thought of every situation and he's not afraid to really like almost like he's sadistic maybe. Like, I don't know, like he wants to see them. Weirdly, I liked him as a character in the show, but it looks like he's a man who has like multiple backup plans in this scenario.
That's really weird, Eddie.
Like the death of Keenan Jarrus should have been the spark that lit the flame for the rebellion. And instead, he quashed it in a moment and made it nothing.
Yeah.
It was everything to us because we had been watching the show. But as far as the rebellion was concerned, that martyr – that moment of that where he martyred himself for his crew and for the rebellion, that should have been the moment like in Rogue One where the plans got out of whatever that fucking planet was.
So I got Eddie, I thought you were going to say that Thrawn looks like a Smurf because I would agree with you there. But two, I just want to ask one more non-Ahsoka question, and then I think let's jump into Ahsoka. But Darth Maul, how the fuck does he actually die? Do we ever see him die? Is he still out there?
Yeah, we do.
I was telling you to watch Twin Sons.
Twin Sons. That's the only episode in season 3. Season 3, episode 20.
Oh.
And I'll go through that because it's really good at the end. We'll go through that. But what is so important about this show and why we picked this episode to start with is because the entire season 1, the band of bandits, the crew, is looking for something to keep it away from the Empire, and it's Fulcrum. Fulcrum is this, you know, this thing or this key or whatever it might be to the rebellion. And Fulcrum is what they've been searching for. And at the end of season one, episode 15, you find out who Fulcrum is. And Fulcrum is Ahsoka Tano. And for me, like, I'm watching that going, oh my God. And I'm sure you guys having, this is the only episode you watch, like, okay.
I would agree with you there.
But think about this. This show, I mean, last time we saw her, she was going off into the sunset and, well, she was younger and now she's a, like, what the fuck has she been doing and how is she involved in the rebellion? Like, wow.
It's like you get the answer like, oh, she did survive Order 66. Okay, so she is still part of like whatever what's happening with the rebellion, you know? Mm-hmm. And what's really cool about, you know, her being Fulcrum is that it kind of comes full circle because I believe that was Anakin's nickname to Ahsoka as a code name or something like that.
Oh, really?
So it was actually coming back to like the Clone Wars and Anakin. Yeah. And it's actually kind of cool that we also get like a little glimpse of Darth Vader into this first season, which is kind of plays like, you know, John Wick, like a fucking boogeyman and shit when you think about it.
I like how Ahsoka, how she's, don't know. It just looks like she is matured because, you know, something about that just made me feel like, okay, like she's getting older and getting more wiser. I could see this in the character. I want to say her character was always the best part about Rebels for me.
Didn't you feel sad though, Eddie? Didn't you feel, because I can talk to you about it since we're the two newbies, but didn't you feel kind of sad that she lost that innocence and that spark of, I want to say spark of life? She just has become this this serious adult version of herself. And I do miss the kind of sly, cocky kid that she was.
I am hoping Rosario Dawson brings in a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that they did well in the Obi-Wan show is that Obi-Wan actually was fun and funny. He wasn't just fucking serious the whole time. Like his interactions with little Princess Leia, it really brightened up the show. Yeah. So if Rosario Dawson can bring a little bit of that back, I think I'd agree with you. She was awful serious.
She was.
And not a lot.
And it makes sense, right? It makes sense by the same time.
For me, the only thing I'm thinking of is she's been gone for so long and she has grown and she doesn't know this crew, right? So she's not going to open up her doors right away. So this is like a different, like she really knows no one in this crew besides maybe, I'm going to call him Kanan, maybe a little bit. But overall, she doesn't know even him, I don't think. She just knows that he's a Jedi who got out. Like, really, like.
And he is very secretive about the fact that he's a Jedi. Yep. So, you really don't even know he's a Jedi. Mm-hmm. And you certainly didn't know Ezra Bridger was a Jedi until he blabs it, you know, he tells fucking everyone. And that was my criticism of Ezra Bridger as a character. And it does bear some importance to talk about him because he is in the Ahsoka series. So the whole Ahsoka series is basically Admiral Thrawn is gone, with Ezra Bridger, and Ahsoka Tano is trying to track him down. So that's the whole show.
That's the question to you guys. Do you know why that she's chasing Ezra?
Because he's going to bring balance to the fucking Force again. No.
Ezra saved Ahsoka in the episode that we're going to be talking about pretty soon. That we don't get to see because you didn't get to see it on the episode we're supposed to see.
I love it, Sean.
At home
you can listen. Sean is trying to so desperately to focus his camera.
So I think
it's failing.
I think in her way is she, in her eyes, I think Ezra, she wants to take as an apprentice. And this is her apprentice she wants to take because she knows that she connected with him during this show, I could see. And when he got older, and I could see that she's looking for him because she did connect with him. And I'm going to rescue my friend who rescued me, like you said, Jeremiah. But it's like also, I think she wants to like take him under her wing a little bit. And like, I don't know, like, I feel like she feels like it's her time to have an apprentice.
Well, we'll talk about it more on the season two episode because we need to get into Siege of Lothal. Part one and part two. Let's talk about that because this is the first time we get the introduction that Ahsoka finds out that Anakin's actually alive.
And Anakin,
in a way.
Yeah. And Anakin gets the inkling that she's there.
Yeah.
My apprentice is alive.
Yeah. So, I mean, exactly, I do have a question for you guys. I think we might have kind of touched on this earlier when we were talking about Clone Wars. But in your opinion, would Anakin have turned Darth Vader if she had been with him? If Ahsoka had been by his side the whole time? Because I'm sitting here real quick, let me kind of clarify. I'm sitting here the whole time and I'm really thinking about Darth Vader as a character, and I'm thinking about episodes 1, 2, and 3 and then the Anakin that we see in Clone Wars. And then I'm going to Darth Vader in obviously 4, 5, 6 and also here in Rebels. And I'm just like the transition from him to Anakin to Darth Vader to me is so extreme. And there was this genuine love and this genuine respect and caring. And I think it's that whole idea of love, right? That love triumphs on the good side, on the side of the light. So my question is, would she have been able to quell him down, to squelch his anger, do you think, if she had been there?
She's the calm for whatever storm that he's going through and everything like that.
Good call.
Well, I wouldn't say it's her fault, but let's put it this way.
It's the Jedi Council's fault because they banished Ahsoka, right? I mean,
so there's a lot of things to it, but I think that, you know, we would not have Vader if Ahsoka was still in the picture. Because when you think about it, when he turns to Vader, he destroyed the Jedi Order. And in a lot of ways, he felt like he murdered his own, like, apprentice, you know, the sister, like, you know, that was so close to him.
So, Sean, wait. So are you saying that Ahsoka was not as important to, as Padme? It's all Padme?
So regardless of how Ahsoka would have treated, I think there would have been a battle between Ahsoka and Anakin. And I think Anakin would have killed her. And here's why Anakin became Darth Vader, because he foresaw the death of Padme, and the Emperor promised him that he could bring Padme back from the dead. That is the reason he became Vader. That's it. And then to suggest that he could have been pulled out of that decision any other way, I think is not reading the film correctly. Hmm. Now, would it have been a harder choice with Ahsoka there? 100%. I agree with Jeremiah. She is his light. She is everything. He perhaps would have turned on the Emperor. He perhaps would have done something different. But I think inevitably his destiny is to become Darth Vader. And his destiny, as per the, you know, I was listening to an interview with George Lucas from probably 10 years ago. And he said, if you actually watch all the movies, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, he actually fulfilled the prophecy as Darth Vader.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what we all
say. He became the Sith and destroyed the Sith.
He brought balance.
So he brought balance to the Force. I don't think anyone – well, you know, let's ignore the fact that somehow Palpatine returned in the new Disney Corp movies. Stupid. But in George Lucas's original, you know, let's say 6 movies – he was the only one who could destroy the Emperor. I'm not sure that Ahsoka, as strong and powerful as she was, would have had that emotional depth.
But if she was, good, right? If we go back to that episode in Clone Wars when we were on the planet with the father and the son and the daughter, if she has embodied the goodness, the light, do you think she could have reached in and pulled him out? I know this is all hindsight going back, but it just
– I believe so.
To me, Jeremiah, I'm on your side, I think.
I believe so, man. Sean, you said it the last episode, a few episodes ago. As listeners, you can listen to our previous episodes Ahsoka Origins. But Sean mentioned a thing like there's the balance between light and dark, and that was Ahsoka and that was Anakin. And if you have those two together, you have the ultimate Jedi
together. I said that.
Oh, you said that?
I okay. was one of them that said
that. That was Eddie. You know,
and that was brilliant and true, except for the prophecy says that Anakin has to or is going to bring balance. And in order for him to do that, he has to turn into Vader.
Never said Anakin. They said that there's a prophecy that there's supposed to be someone that brings balance to the Force.
So then would it have been Luke?
They even Yoda says it was misread. The prophecy might have been misread. Yeah. I'm thinking there was supposed to be two people who were supposed to bring balance to the Force.
Perhaps.
It was supposed to be Princess Leia, of all people. I mean, that was supposed to be the original story, that she was supposed to be the balance of the Force, because, I guess, remember in Empire Strikes Back, you know,
well, there is another.
Last hope. Nope, there is another.
There's another.
I mean, I like Sean's way of saying Vader, Anakin, he was in love with Padme, and his whole focus was around Padme, and it was going to happen with Ahsoka, without Ahsoka. I think... Overall, I think maybe Ahsoka would have helped Anakin not become Vader, but still, I think Anakin would still be a Sith, if that made sense. I don't know how that would be, but
I don't know how it works, but yeah, I agree. How was it for you guys to see Vader fighting Ezra and Kanan?
I laughed.
Oh my God.
Because it was almost like, oh, here's two Jedi who have literally no training going up against Vader, and he's just kicking their fucking ass.
Did you like the draft hits, though? Personally, just wondering if you liked the draft hits Clone Wars, or about the same?
I'm going to tell you, the lightsabers look really cool because they look like the original concept of like the designs of what the lightsabers were supposed to look like. Swords, points, and things like that. So I actually thought it was a nice little tip to the hat to the original concept.
So, yeah.
I think that with the vast amount of money that Disney has and the amount of technology we have with regard to animation, Clone Wars, Rebels, and then they did the Resistance, by the way. it's almost like it just got even worse.
You know,
like the cartoon, it's just awful. Just
well, at the time, it went to all the movies, right? The movies were finally coming out, so all the fucking money and budget was going to these three movies that are coming out of the theaters.
Yeah, it's,
and it was just, I think you could not suggest that that's the best attribute of any of these shows is the graphics.
I'm glad like, you're saying that. I'm glad you're saying that because, yeah, no, to me, I'm looking at it and I'm going, the animation is smoother, right? The flow, the movement is more flowing and it's more realistic. But it looks so chalked up, animated, in your face, fake. Going back, Sean, to what you were saying, you know, and yes, I have some frustrations with the continuity and with the characters. And if Darth Vader was really Darth Vader in that moment facing those two, he should have just decapitated him in 2 seconds.
Yeah, just pull him, crush him.
But there was a reason he didn't. So there, exactly. And this is the thing. Thrawn and Vader are talking and they're trying to stop the rebellion before it gets started.
Exactly.
And they don't want to create martyrs out of these Jedi to get the people going. You don't kill those guys. You kill everyone else.
Yeah.
You don't kill Alexander Hamilton.
Well played. You know? Well played, Thrawn. So, and,
yes. But that's what's really cool about that, dude.
Right.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, Vader. No, yeah, you do.
No.
And then it turns it right there.
Is William. No, William Wallace. Okay. William Wallace was they killed him and sent
they
his body parts.
Late.
No, they didn't kill him too late.
Yeah.
He was only
history's
there for
proved,
like 4 months.
History proves it, buddy. They killed it too late.
No, Jared. No. Anyway, I'm sorry, Ed. They took his body parts and put them into all corners of the earth. And you know what it caused? A fucking rebellion that overthrew the government.
All I'm saying,
I'm telling
maybe
you right
if you
now,
go with the idea of the Thrawn and Vader, they don't know how deep the rebellion is right now. So
that's
maybe
true.
That's more of a, hey, we don't know that it's really these seven folks here leading the rebellion practically.
Right.
And, you know, Kanan and Ezra would be pretty much the only Jedi here, really. Yeah, there's no other Jedi practically.
But you also had Saul Guerrera at this point that we learned from Clone Wars and then we learned from Rogue One. You had a bunch of different sects. You just didn't know. They didn't know about each other.
You had a lot of people too. You had like, you know, Bell Organa. You had Lionel Calrissian. They had all like a play with the rebellion
cool
in a lot
to
of ways.
Lando
and
come back.
Yes,
what's really cool about it. I mean, I agree with Sean is that, you know, they know there's a little spark. They know that there's talks about a rebellion. So you know what they're going to do? Let's actually let these two fuckers live, you know, and see what we can do to squash it all together and whatnot.
I respect that.
Let's put a little bit of this in context. Anakin is a character who became Darth Vader, spent his entire life fighting the Clone Wars.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The Clone Wars end and the rebellion essentially begins the next day. He does not want to fight in another open fucking war. He's seen what open war does with, regardless of what side you're on, he knows what's going to happen. He does not want to fight an open battle anymore. He's done.
I'll give you that. I like that.
Just from a practical standpoint.
I like that a lot.
I just know old school Vader. I'm under a branding here. Old school Vader, any Vader in other shows, he would not allow Ezra to live in this episode.
Rogue One Vader. Am I right, Ed?
Yeah.
Like, he's over there conducting.
He thought he could stop the rebellion, right?
He's conducting a symphony
Vader,
over there.
Honest,
just killed
every Vader, like Obi-Wan Kenobi Vader, like all the Vaders, like Obi-Wan Kenobi Vader. He was dragging people through the
market there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the episode Shroud of Darkness, episode 18, season 2.
Shroud of Darkness. Okay,
this is where we find out for sure that Ahsoka finds out for sure that it's Vader or Anakin.
Oh.
So we get the
heart of hearts
moment.
Here, yeah.
So as the show progresses, you're falling in love with the characters a little bit more. I found them all to be juvenile and kind of stupid,
annoying
at the beginning.
Annoying, thank you. The entire
annoying.
Time through,
and Sabine Wren, she ends up, she's one of my favorite characters.
God, no. Yeah,
I'm telling you right now. No, you got to watch all the episodes, Brandon, because she is. It's She's deep. She's not this shallow piece of shit. She's really like a deep character who cares deeply about Mandalorian culture. She ends up getting the Darksaber.
She's a fucking street artist. And I'm looking at it going like,
she's a punk
Mandalorian. Yeah, she's like a punk
Mandalorian as a character is what we're doing.
She's Banksy.
No, I'm telling you.
She's punk Spider-Man, bro.
All these characters are starting to develop into pretty cool characters. The only one that I think doesn't really develop is Zeb, the four-armed creature. Him and Chopper are just kind of cool the whole time. But Hera is starting to feel this pull because she's with Kanan Jarrus, and Kanan does not want to be part of the rebellion. He wants to go back to what they were doing. He doesn't want to get involved in the war.
Involve it, yeah.
So he also lost his eyesight, right? With
not
Darth
yet, dude.
Maul.
Ed, don't go there. Right? Don't go there. Come on.
A couple episodes later, he does alert, because everybody. Of fucking Ezra.
Right.
So that brings us to Shroud of Darkness, where basically you have them going to a
Jedi temple.
A Jedi temple. And what I loved about this show, and I will say that you guys missed because you didn't watch it all, is that there are Jedi temple throughout the galaxy. Mm-hmm. And the reason Lothal is particularly important is because that's the site of one of the only known Jedi temples.
See, that would have been good to know.
And so it's good to know. So they go to Lothal because of the Jedi.
I swear, every episode that you guys listed for us, they're in Lothal. Which
and that's where Ezra was born. Ezra was born and raised on Lothal, and so like you know,
his parents was taken away. So yeah. I mean, it's almost like a Luke Skywalker story.
Here's what they should have done, right? If you're the Emperor, if you are the Imperial side, all you need to do is take out every desert planet, because look at every single thorn in their side has come from a desert planet. And I swear, if you just take the Death Star and say desert planet, Jakku,
Tatooine,
Lothal. Those three, wipe them out. Guess what? You're ruling the galaxy forever.
You got to remember this, Brandon. I mean, the problem is that he can't do that because he can't get access to the fucking temple.
He fucking hates sand. Darth Vader hates sand. It gets everywhere. It's coarse. It's rough.
He uses it all these crazy waders. How many are there? I feel like that he sends them out so quickly. I'm like, bro.
Here's a fun fact, by the way. You know that Kanan is actually Freddie Prinze Jr., the voice, right? He's doing the voice. Yeah, I thought he actually has a good voice.
So which one's Sarah Michelle Gellar?
The female Inquisitor is actually Sarah Michelle Gellar. No. So it's actually funny.
You're bullshit.
They're talking to each other. When she goes, hey, good looking. That was actually Sarah Michelle Gellar.
God, I love life.
Which one? The third sister, the fourth sister, the fifth sister, eighth sister?
The one that was just like, sister, like saying like, hey, what's hey, hot stuff, whatever she said and that's shit.
Fine. So Shroud of Darkness, let's get back to it, because it reveals a couple of things. Number one, it kind of takes Ahsoka on her own path, Kanan on his own path, and Ezra on his own path. It shows Ahsoka that indeed Anakin is Vader, and that
is this the first time they talked about Yoda too, or no, or is that later? I can't remember.
No, they've talked about Yoda before, but this is the first appearance.
But this is where we see Yoda tells Ezra, right?
And his fucking graphics were just trash. I'm sorry,
it was trash. Keep but going. You know what? And I will say it, and I know that other people have said it on IMDb. It was really nice to hear Frank Oz come back and voice Yoda, because there was a huge difference. Yeah. I didn't realize how much I missed Frank Oz until I heard. And this goes with all the characters, right? We've got Ian McDiarmid comes back as the Emperor. We've got Frank Oz.
Sounds great.
And I know I said at the beginning, and I will maintain, the Rebels was a huge disappointment for me. But some of the key things that happened throughout were really just kind of nice.
Paid off. Yeah, it had some nice payoffs. Yeah. I mean, hearing James Earl Jones as mm-hmm. Darth Vader. So then Kanan kind of goes through his process of I think the beautiful part of this show is the evolution of Kanan Jarrus in his realization that just because he's untrained doesn't mean he's not a Jedi, because he kind of left the Jedi in shame, and his master died for him, and basically he ran. And she said, just run away, just run. And he just abandoned her. He abandoned everything. Mm.
I will also agree that I think he's one of the most important Jedi Knights for actually paving the way that you can still love with someone and still actually have a balance with the Force. He did something that Anakin was not able to fucking do.
Yeah, baby Kanan, they're coming at the end, so who knows?
I know. And he loved Hera, but he loved Hera with all his heart.
Wait, Sean, what's really cool about this episode, too, is that you got to see the first glimpse of the World of the Worlds.
Right.
You see Ezra actually meeting Yoda in that whole kind of dimension Force, which is pretty cool.
That was weird.
And when you see that later on, the episode that you miss, you see that the whole universe, the paths are fucking expanded and everything, dude.
You kind of got this. We talked about this when we did a Clone Wars episode with the father and the son and the daughter. This idea that there is a pocket, a Force pocket in the world where Force users can go. And it's almost like decision making. It's almost like the the multiverse. Yeah. Wouldn't you say, Jeremy?
That's kind of how I thought of it.
Dude, it's crazy. And that's how the Twilight of Apprentice, when you see Ahsoka and Vader fight for the first time, you don't know what happens on that episode. And then we find out in season four that somehow Ezra gets into the World of the Worlds and sees what's happening and sees what's going on with, you know, Ahsoka and Darth Vader. And pulls Ahsoka out right before the temple blows up. And
so Ahsoka's not in any of season three. At this point, we're to assume that she is lost.
Dead.
We don't know what happened. But the thing is that, you know, it jumped from, like, she sees Ezra, like, years from now, you know, like, holy shit. So we don't know what happened within that 7-year gap of Ahsoka Tano. That's a whole mystery right there when you think about it. Right. But that's the reason why she wants to save Ezra, because in a lot of ways, he saved her. From Vader.
Right. I mean, that makes sense.
All right, next episode.
Very Donnie Darko, which I wish that we would do. Viewers, listeners, if you would like us to do Donnie Darko, please write in, because I want to do Donnie Darko, but Sean...
Hey, I got three people that listen to us that want to do guest spots on that show. That
I will. I'm dying to do
Donnie.
I'll
rip apart Donnie Darko.
Well, fuck you, man.
I'll rip apart Donnie Darko.
Well, wait. Let's talk about Twilight of the Apprentice, because I actually thought this was badass episode. I don't know if you guys didn't like it. This is the shit I wanted to see in Star Wars, where you see like this old school like temple... Malachor, which, by the way, wasn't like a reference from, like, you know, the Old Republic, Star Wars Old Republic right there. Yeah. So the thought of like seeing all these old Jedis and Siths like in like battle and shit. And then you got to see actually not one lightsaber battle, but bunch of lightsaber battles was pretty fucking epic. And that final battle with Ahsoka and Anakin, Darth Vader, was pretty badass as well.
We also had Maul come in, and I think that that's a pretty important aspect to bring him back, right? And to have him, I mean, he's fighting on his own side for sure, but at the same time, he's helping.
I'm not sure whose side he's on other than his own, right. But he does. I feel like he does hate the Emperor. He does hate the Empire. He's not a Jedi. But I think that he sympathizes more with the Jedi than he does with the Sith.
I would agree.
I think he wants to destroy everything that's related to Vader and the Emperor, and that was his whole goal, was to blow the whole fucking thing up, right?
Yeah, it was.
Right. That was it.
Yeah.
Super cool with the whole idea of you get to see. I do like the idea that you get to see a Jedi temple and a Sith temple. You've always heard about these stories, and this was cool to see. The Sith Temple was a little bit more badass, in my opinion, of like these secret passageways, and both ways grow up. And the idea, though, Darth Maul, I mean, he knew he saw himself in the little apprentice from the very beginning, trying to get information from him. And, you know, I feel like he liked him in a weird way, Ezra, right? Or no?
For sure. Yeah. Well, he saw that Ezra was conflicted.
Yep. He felt the anger or something in him.
Well,
Maul's going to take care of Maul, dude.
Yeah, and the problem with Ezra Bridger as a character
So he liked him for some reason.
But until season four, Ezra Bridger was a undisciplined character who really didn't have any allegiance to the Jedi. He wanted to be a Jedi. He thought it was cool to be a Jedi, but he had a bunch of questions about the Sith that Kanan would not answer. He would not give them any information about the bad side or the dark side. And he was kind of frustrated. And so this was his first opportunity to kind of go, huh, what's going on over here? Because he had a Jedi holocron that he had used. I don't know if you guys know this, but he had this holocron that Kanan had, and it had all of the training exercises from Anakin Skywalker.
So there's reference to that.
To know, okay. Right. So he essentially learned how to be a Jedi from Anakin Skywalker, and to know that Anakin became Darth Vader, a Sith, he's like, I want to know a little bit about the Sith. Like, I want to know what happened. I don't think he got drawn or pulled that way. I think it was just curiosity. I think he just wanted to know.
But Maul is still like, he does damage, man. And what he does, the blind fucking Kanan dude, that's like, fuck, dude. But it was so badass how he kind of just put that old, like, you know, that mask, that night mask and shit, you know, and then he becomes like this fucking different, like, wise Jedi. It's so fucking crazy, dude.
Seriously.
But what do you guys think of that battle between Ahsoka and Darth Vader for the first time? Like, it was sad, man.
I mean, literally, I feel the same way about that as I do about the Obi-Wan battle in the Obi-Wan series. Is you've got these two characters who have such history, and to know the end result, right? To know what's going to happen. I mean, granted, we don't know exactly what's going on with Ahsoka, but I mean, if you're going to ask me, actually, I'm going to ask everybody right now, what do you think is going to happen with Ahsoka? Does she die? Does she survive? Is she out there still? And I'm talking about through the 4, 5, 6, right? What are we going to find with the Ahsoka? I'm talking about in the TV show, right? The new Ahsoka show. What happens to Ahsoka?
It's after Return of the Jedi.
Is it?
No.
Yeah.
See, we don't know the time.
Mandalorian is after Return of the Jedi.
5 years after Return of the Jedi. In the end of the episode, or the end of the season for Rebels, you know, Sabine actually tells everyone, like, yes, we actually won the Battle of Endor, you know, because what we did in Lothal helped spark this rebellion.
You can edit that out then. Well, then where the fuck is she in 4, 5, 6? Where the fuck is she?
Well, no, this is the thing.
That's the mysterious thing, dude.
This is.
But that makes you think that Luke Skywalker at this time, is he old enough to be in Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back and A New Hope?
Well, and you, during the 7 years that Ahsoka is gone, yes, that's where Luke is 4, 5, 6. Then Ahsoka, whatever she's doing, comes back and meets Luke, and they have a relationship because she brought Grogu to Luke. Yes.
And this is where she's like, hey, you're just like your dad. Yeah,
you're right. Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So is this Ahsoka before that, or is this the series that's coming
before.
Up? The series is before young Ahsoka.
No, the new Ahsoka series is after the events of Rebels.
But what about Return?
The same time of Mandalorian.
Yes, same time as Mandalorian. 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Last thing that you see is Sabine going to Ahsoka and knowing that the Empire has fallen as shit, and you see Ahsoka wearing this kind of like fucking like wizard fucking. Gown and shit, like, you know. There's a lot of people are giving a reference
Lord
that
of Rings,
magazines and stuff. Yeah, they're giving a reference like, you know, she died or something and she was reborn or something. Oh, you
she know? Is Ahsoka.
We don't
the
know
White.
What happened to that 7 years. Yes.
So, see, I got the idea that she was trapped or that. So the last we see of her in this episode is she's walking back into the temple.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Back into the and this gives me the opinion, and this is just my personal opinion, that she has entered the world between worlds and essentially has been soaking up knowledge, learning about the true Jedi, about the wills and about the about what it means to be the on a path to be a real Jedi, as opposed to what the Jedi Council taught her. And I think she probably learned a little bit about the Sith. And I think that when she emerged 7 years later, she was
the truest Jedi, what a Jedi should be.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely. I agree with that.
She's at a place also where she could see different worlds above worlds. Then she could actually see 4, 5, and 6 going on. And she's just watching it in a way she's watching Darth Vader and she's watching everything play out in a weird way. Right. I mean, if that's technically.
Right. No. Yeah. And there was a situation what happens to the season 4 with Jedi Knight where, like, you know, Kanan dies. And in the War of the World of the Worlds, Ezra is trying to prevent that not to happen.
Right.
He can actually pull it. And it was actually Ahsoka was telling him, you can't do that.
Right.
This is what he did.
Which
gave
reminds
up his
me of
life
our T2 episode. Does it not? Which you should go back, listeners, and talk about time travel.
I really enjoyed season 2, the last 2 episodes. Like, that's when I actually was like, oh, Okay, I like the fight scenes between Vader and Ahsoka. I was waiting for that.
We have to talk about the Jedi Knight episode where actually Kanan dies.
Season 4, episode 10.
Sacrifices him.
Okay, so we did not do any in season 3?
The Twin Sons.
No.
We did not.
I try to get you guys to do the Twin Sons. If Sean, if you want to break it down just a little bit of the final confrontation between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Maul in Tatooine.
Yeah, okay. So basically there's a couple of things that is worth mentioning about this final confrontation. So Maul finds Obi-Wan on Tatooine. He goes to confront him.
Place a trap, that should.
And yeah, and what's really brilliant and beautiful about this is that Obi-Wan is an old man. Obi-Wan is very sympathetic. He is not angry at Maul. He is not vicious. He is basically become the Obi-Wan Kenobi we want. We know and love the Alleghenis Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Very Alleghenis, yeah.
And as Maul is getting ready to do his attack, he takes first the Qui-Gon Jinn stance of that Qui-Gon Jinn basically lost to Maul. So he takes Qui-Gon Jinn stance. Then he takes his normal
his two-finger pose.
Yeah. And lures Maul into thinking that he doesn't know what his move is going to be, and then kills Maul. And he kills Maul, and there's a beautiful scene where
very quick. He basically, it wasn't a long fight.
Yeah, not a long fight.
It was
one lightsaber, you know, swoop.
Like Brandon, it was the move that he did on Qui-Gon, where it was just like ka ka, and trying to hit him right there. Obi knew the fucking move.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that episode.
Then Maul falls into Obi-Wan's arms as he's dying, and they have a little dialogue, which is very, very, very closes out Maul's storyline beautifully. It really, if you're just, it's a 5-minute, 10-minute scene on YouTube. Watch it because it really does close a lot of the Maul storyline out.
Very, before that fight, though, Maul was just like, why are you here? Like, it took me forever to find you. Why are you here? Is it what, who, no, what are you protecting here? And then instantly he goes, who are you protecting? And then that's when Obi-Wan turns on the lightsaber and is like, oh shit, Darth Maul was able to like actually figure it out real quickly. Mm-hmm. He was this very smart guy. I enjoyed Darth Maul's character. Yeah.
And Maul goes, and last thing he asks is like, Obi-Wan, like, is he the chosen one? And like Obi-Wan, like, you know, really holds him, like, you know, very sadly, you know, he's like, yes, he is. And he goes, he will avenge us. And he dies.
Oh,
fucking. I'm telling you right now, it's a beautiful, it's fucking some of the best writing. It's some of the best closing of.
I just got chills right there.
Oh, I know. Right there. Oh.
I feel like they, it's they okay, snuck, so they, season. They, seriously, they snuck in this episode, like real. So I was really pissed off for a while with Rebels. I was like, what is everyone talking about? And I was like, oh, this is the episode that I've been waiting for. I've been seeing on YouTube.
This is the episode that Sean loves. This is like his fucking episode here, the Jedi Knight.
Oh yeah.
So the Jedi Knight. So just to give you a little background though, before this episode, you have the Darksaber passing to Sabine Wren. She wins it in battle on her in the remnants of the Mandalorian army. You have Saul Guerrera aging, and you kind of have the time passing of the rebellion. You see the rebellion is gaining strength against the Empire, and you've got this beautiful episode which closes out Kanan Jarrus's lifespan, where he goes to save Hera. And I think that it's very clear from the very beginning of this episode he knows he's going to
die. He's with those wolves.
The Lothal wolves, yeah. Right. So, and it's the Lothal cool. wolves are very important from the very beginning. They mm-hmm. protected Ezra Bridger several times. Like, they're part of this story. They just didn't come out of the fucking, you know, out of the blue.
They're able to travel through the world of the worlds, by the way, too.
Right. They do light speed as well, right? They can do like a light speed.
They're like spirit animals. Like, it's almost like Native American spirit animal kind of. Mm. I get that tone from it. So you've got Kanan Jarrus. Did you guys watch this episode?
I did.
No?
Yes. After I saw this one after I had already seen the entire end.
Okay. Right. Okay. So you went back and watched it. Same. Because one of the things that I think is absolutely brilliant is the way that they filmed his sacrifice. He was a totally different character his whole, the whole episode. He was calm. He was a fucking Jedi. He gave all the power to Ezra to plan. He was just there to help and assist. And the way that his eyes, I mean, the most brilliant part about the episode to me is the way that the Force allowed him to see her one last time before he died, which is when his eyes cleared at the end of the episode. That to me just shows you like that whoever's writing, that's Dave Filoni, but the arc of the character is redemption. Everything is about redemption. And it's just it's the most beautiful redemptive story ever. What did you think about it?
I got a little bit of when he passed away, I personally got a little of the same New Hope with Obi-Wan Kenobi feel of this is my moment. You know, everyone has a moment and this is my moment to, you know, to make sure that the rebellion stays alive and that there's a hope that still stays out there. And, you know, he knew he had to die. So he pushed away everyone. And you get the feeling from the very beginning of the show, Sean, that he's like, oh, this guy, he knows he's dying. Like he even tells Ezra, I want you to lead it. You know, like I'll be here to watch you. That's like a Obi-Wan Kenobi thing. I just feel like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I don't want to get cynical. And maybe I think it's because I just didn't see enough of these characters to develop any attachment to them. Like, I mean, I was sad to see a character that I'd seen in a couple episodes die, but honestly, it was like the equivalent of a stormtrooper that I'd kind of gotten to know die.
Gotcha.
And I think that's definitely, I wish that I liked it enough to say I'm going to go back and watch all of Rebels. I'm not, because they're to me, this is just a very, very flawed production. But I understand the importance of it in the bigger scheme of things. And I'm sure that if I had watched and if I do watch all of them, then I would have some much more attachment that I just don't have right now.
I mean, I will say that the reason that me and Jeremy kind of just having watched all the episodes decided to do this the way we did to prepare audiences for Ahsoka was so you didn't have to fucking watch these.
Yeah.
We realized that you have to be a certain type of person to sit down and watch the Clone Wars as 9 seasons. You have to be a certain type of person who's going to really fight through Rebels. Like we get it. It's not the best Star Wars has to offer, but it's got these brilliant threads and glimpses that I think are just they're worth mentioning.
And yeah. I think it's really important to really see the big overall picture of like the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And like there's so much stories to that. Yeah. And I think that's what really excites me about it, because from episode 10 to episode 15 of the last season for Rebels is fucking phenomenal, because it really stages like the idea of like this is how the rebellion started.
Yeah.
And this is what that's going to happen going forward. Now with Ahsoka, where you have an idea of like, okay, there's so much mythical type of like things are happening that I really want to know more about the Force. The World of Worlds is a fascinating concept of like, what the fuck is that? Mm-hmm. And I hope, and I have a feeling that they're going to dive more into that with the Ahsoka series, which I cannot wait for.
So let's kind of talk about the rest of season 4. I think that we don't have to necessarily go episode by episode, but what we have is the rebellion with Keenan Jarrus's death has suffered this big blow, but the Empire or Grand Admiral Thrawn has kind of created an element where the rebels are the problem. And it's kind of a high bridge to cross or a high wall to cross for Ezra to bring it back to end up defeating this, you know, the big power. Yeah. And it takes a big sacrifice. So let's start with you, Brandon. Yep. Let's kind of go through positives, negatives. What did you
think? Yeah. So I mentioned this earlier, but episode 15 of season 4 was really the only episode that I enjoyed. And actually one of the things I wanted to mention earlier, but totally forgot, is I think that one of the reasons that I didn't connect to Clone Wars or Rebels is the length of the episodes. Because if I looked at it and I go, I didn't like any of the episodes because they just, there was never enough time to really get into the meat of it. With this last episode, it was 48 minutes or whatever it was. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I felt invested. I loved getting involved in this. There were plenty of things that I just couldn't stand. One of them was, and I just got to mention it.
Like that Gollum creature?
I was going to say the alien whales that come to destroy the blockade. It just reminded me of Lord of the Rings and Return of the King.
No.
We have the ghost army just comes in and saves the day.
No. You gotta be okay with those because they're showing up in fucking Mandalorian.
I told Sawyer, we gotta watch season 3 of Mandalorian.
Have you not watched Mandalorian season 3?
No, I'm so
They're fucking in there.
You might appreciate it. You might appreciate all of it a little bit more once you've watched.
I need to clarify something. This is mainly, and Jeremiah, I'm talking to you mainly, and listeners. I want you guys to understand that if I was a tattooing kind of guy, like my buddy Jeremiah, I would get Star Wars tattoos all over my body. I love Star Wars, but I had this serious moment with Amanda this morning, and I looked at her and I said, I can't stand what Star Wars has become. I just don't like what Star Wars is now. What I love is 4, 5, 6, and I'm going to go ahead and throw Rogue One in because it's basically just an extension of 4. But 4, 5, and 6, to me, that's Star Wars. The rest of this is bullshit. And Sean, you're absolutely right by calling. No, I don't. But Sean, you're absolutely right in calling it Disney Corp Star Wars because there is a precipice that has just been fucking jumped off of without a parachute, and I just cannot stand what it is and what it's become. And you're right, I haven't seen Andor, I haven't seen Mandalorian season 3. I want to watch both of them just to say that I watched them, but god damn it, I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't know what to say from what you're saying about that, Brandon. I mean, it makes me sad that that's how you feel, and it's I don't know if anger you can ever get away, Brandon, from 4 to 5 and 6, because I understand that that's a very high relic fucking thing. But what Dave did for not just this series, but both series, is that put so much depth and so much meaning behind that, what we want and what we love about Star Wars. I honestly believe that, dude, seriously, like these things make it more magical for me personally. I think it's just like the overall universe is just so.
And he
fucking
had nothing
good
to do with 7, 8, and 9.
No, he did.
Had nothing
to do
with
did.
7, 8, and 9.
But no, I totally see it, man.
I feel like what Brandon's saying is there's a lot of crap. There's more crap than shiny moments enough. Like there's these shiny moments. I'm just saying there's a lot of these shiny moments. I'm like, okay, I like that. But I feel like a lot of Rebels, I'm just like, okay, like I could have wrapped it up in 5 episodes.
How many hours, Eddie, did we sit through to get to those moments, right?
Granted, we didn't watch them all. So I don't disagree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. But I will say this. Sometimes you have to wade through the I wouldn't call it crap, but I would call it the less than perfect to get the moments. Name another franchise, just one other franchise that is perfect.
Lord of the Rings.
No, you got The Hobbit. The three Hobbit movies were
I actually like two. But listen, Lord of the Rings, again, it's like Star Wars. When I think of Lord of the Rings, I think of those three films, right? When I think
I think of Indiana Jones, I think of Last Crusade, but then you still got the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull fucking hanging out there. Different. I'm telling you right now, sometimes you gotta wade through the bad to enjoy and appreciate the good. I'm not saying that Ahsoka is gonna be great. I don't think it is. I think it might be okay. I think that Andor was pretty fucking good.
I think you need to watch Andor. I agree with that.
Andor was pretty fucking great.
Andor is what you're looking for a little bit.
Brian. I think, yeah.
I think that you need to give this franchise a little bit of time and distance from George Lucas, and I think you need to let the new storytellers come through with some new and exciting stories that aren't tied to fucking Luke Skywalker.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I think I love the expansiveness of the universe. I do love what they can do with it, and I love the fact that they try. I just don't feel like they are giving me the product that I want.
But I think what's really cool about what we've been doing for the past like so many weeks and everything is talking about Ahsoka Tano, because I think Ahsoka Tano is probably one of the most important characters in the Star Wars universe.
You know what I will give you, Jeremiah? I will give you the fact that I think Ahsoka Tano has the greatest, Sean, you're going to love it.
Potential.
Character arc. that we have seen in Star Wars franchise. And I'm talking four, Agreed. Five, six. I'm talking I did not like her when we did season one of Clone Wars, and I thought, fuck, how are we gonna
She was annoying as fuck.
How am I gonna do this over this many weeks? I love what she was. I don't know if I really like her in Rebels, to be honest, because I think that she has lost. It's like having a Han Solo who's not cocky. That's to me the kind of thing that we're missing from her. And I'm hoping that we bring that in the next.
So you like that? You like that in Clone Wars? You like the cockiness?
I did.
Like
I did. Okay. Yeah, I liked her. I liked her arrogance. I liked her. But it's not really arrogance, right? It's controlled arrogance. I like her dedication to goodness, but also her rebellious nature. I like seeing that.
I want you to go back and look at a couple episodes of Mandalorian that she's in.
Yeah.
And I want you to just kind of take a look, and I'm with you. I hope Rosario Dawson brings a new level of excitement to her, and not just a level. Mm-hmm. She can't be level. She's got to be emotional. And this is
there's got to be emotional shit to it.
There's got to be emotional.
Yeah. I mean, Anakin Skywalker. I mean, sorry, Hayden Christensen will be in this season and in this series of Ahsoka. So I really want fucking death. I want her to be like I just want shit that we want that's been hidden from plain view. You
so
know what I'm
saying? I really want to know, when is this Ahsoka coming out? Like, what is it considered? Is it during 4, 5, and 6?
No, it's after. So 5 years after we've been through.
No,
this. 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
5 years after Return of the Jedi. I thought it was supposed to be season 5 of Rebels, though.
It very well might be season 5 for Rebels.
Granted, because, they did 7 years between, I'm guessing, episodes or season 3 and season 4 of Rebels.
Yeah, because right? the whole thing about what's the planet called? Lothal?
Yeah.
Lothal was the spark of the rebellion, and it brought hope for the universe, and then it goes into the Battle of Endor that actually destroyed the Empire. So it actually kind of went full circle.
Brings
on that
it
part.
Full circle.
I do hope that it's more Ahsoka and less Ezra in the Ahsoka Tano.
I don't think we're going to see Ezra in this one.
There's a character playing as him. So
no, I don't think we're going to see him until the very end.
Yeah,
of this, end
that's of the whole thing. It's trying to find his friend, and that's what the whole point of Ezra is telling Sabine is I'm counting on you. It wasn't I'm counting on you to fucking do your job. I'm counting you to find me, to save me from this, because I'm going to disappear. I'm waiting for you to find me.
He did have a little.
And Ahsoka needs to find the person as well.
He did have a little moment at the end of episode 15 of I'm going to die for my friends, or I'm going to do something. I don't know. I'm going to get rid of Thrawn.
Bro, the biggest thing about Ezra and when he's in the temple, right? And Palpatine is trying to, persuade him to go and reach out for his family. And he decides, no, I'm not going to go and reach out for my family, because you know why? I got to let them go. And I have my family over here that I need to save here.
He knows that's not
really
his family.
He decides to make that choice.
Yeah. He knows that's a fake. He probably knows that's not really his family. He's like, that's my family. I've already left my
family.
He
was trying to persuade him to use the world so Palpatine can use that. And guess what? More fucking firepower. The most ultimate power probably to use that.
Which I thought was super powerful with him, basically running out with escaping the War of the Worlds from Palpatine. And you had this idea that Palpatine was still, because this is after, remember, this is, after
Endor.
The first and second, basically, yeah. No, before Endor.
Oh.
After New Hope, after Empire Strikes Back. So somewhere in that, not quite.
I'm trying to figure out. That situation was before New Hope. That was kind of before Rogue One. I'm sorry, dude.
Sorry.
Before New Hope, yeah.
I'm sorry. I need a timeline on the wall.
Thank you.
It's just written out.
We talked about it. We never gave a good answer, though. We've talked about it. We never.
No, we did. We told you when the Ahsoka series was going to be.
Fuck, bro.
All right. So let's finish up here. Basically, Ezra Bridger tricks Grand Admiral Thawne. They go off with the whales and into the unknown.
Hyperspace.
And then you've got the wrap up with Sabine, which adequately wraps up Rebels. We're going to see all those characters again on Ahsoka Tano. So we're going to push pause there. That's fine. Let's switch gears and talk about the last two episodes of our review, which is going to be episode 5 and 6 of Tales of a Jedi.
Yeah.
Brandon, you got a face on you.
We messed up. Well, I feel like we also didn't talk about episode one of Tales of the Jedi. Have you guys watched that one? The whole birth of Ahsoka, I mean, and how it was
it's a birth.
How she was like almost, it was almost like she is the chosen one, bro. Like she was able.
It felt like
I felt like she was more the chosen one than Anakin. Personally,
you didn't like that one.
I didn't see that one because I wasn't told to watch that one of the 25.
You should watch all of these. You should watch all of these because this is the rise and fall also of Dooku.
Yes. Mm.
And it's really good.
Well, yeah.
So, Brandon, you didn't like the one Practice Makes Perfect.
Dude, let me just tell you. I'm looking at this. It was 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It was 10 minutes of the same fucking thing. Oh, let's just shoot her and let her stun her. And then, yeah. Blah. I mean, bro, God damn
it. I loved it.
I thought it was great. But here's what I think it should have been. Here's what it should have been. It should have been a four-minute segment in a Rebels or a Clone Wars episode. To have it be its own thing and me just watch her get great.
They left it was out. Cool. They messed it up.
Great. They did. I get it. I understand.
No, I don't think they did. I think it's pretty cool when you watch that season. When we're watching season 7 again and seeing that scene and you know for a fact like, oh, she's going to be fine because you know why? She was trained by Anakin Skywalker.
And that came to fruition in episode 6, Resolve, when she didn't even use a fucking lightsaber.
Yeah.
She didn't to defeat this Inquisitor. She's just like, no, I don't need
a lightsaber.
Laughed
at
him. I'm just going to fucking kill you. I'm just going to fucking kill you.
I'm going to tell you how powerful she is. She grabbed it, and she turned it off using her force. She just like turned it off. And the fucking Inquisitor's like, holy shit. Roundhouse, Jean-Claude Van Damme kicks the shit out of him and slices his head off. That was badass.
Yes.
It was. I mean, it was
this
cool.
This is the character of Ahsoka Tano, though. From the beginning, we have an innocent, cocky Padawan. And then all of a sudden, when you get to the end, the last episode that we get to see her before her show, she is a badass, powerful Jedi, perhaps the most powerful Jedi, arguably more powerful than Luke. She's going after Ezra Bridger. She's got, you know, the characters of Rebels are going to come help her. And so let's talk for a minute about what is this season going to be? What's going to happen?
She has the knowledge of the council, the Jedi Council. We're talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi. We're talking about Yoda, Mace. We're talking about people that all myths. You know, no one knows who these people are. She has this knowledge from everyone, you know, and everyone's going through her. And I feel like this is – I hope it touches into next level. Like, I don't know. Like she is – for example, Rogue One and Mandalorian 2, end of season 2, right? The season finale where you have Luke just fucked up everyone. I hope it's how there's this like that, like you're crying. It's like, this is what I've been waiting for. I hope it's that same crying-ness. I'm crying for Ahsoka at certain scenes here for her.
All right. So here's my thought is that there needs to be some kind of connector. And obviously we're talking about a span of years and years and years and almost decades, but there has to be some kind of connector between Return of the Jedi and, you know, basically episodes 6 and 7. I think that we're going to hear the whisperings of Snoke. I think that we're going to hear the whisperings of kind of the rebellion on the other side, where we're going to see really what happens with the rebellion once they've beaten and won in Endor and what they've done to establish, you know, what it has become. But I feel like we are missing so much information between 6 and 7 that I'm hoping that Ahsoka, the show, is going to give us some kind of rumblings as to how that's going to happen. I don't know.
So you have not seen Mandalorian season 3, and I will say that a lot of that has to do with the Snoke
issue. Damn it. I really should probably watch that, huh?
I really hope that they build a whole new direction. And that what we were talking about, like, you know, one of the seasons, like, go on to something different. Yeah. Get away from the whole Skywalker fucking thing.
Yeah.
And I really hope that they really kind of focus on the Heir of the Empire, the whole Thrawn trilogy. Mm-hmm. Because even though they did have, like, you know, Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia, I think there's like a lot of meat and potatoes for the Heir of the Empire and the Dark Force Rising and The Last Command. That would be really cool to fucking go to that direction. And hopefully Ahsoka brings that or just brings this whole new story for us to actually, you know, get excited and see, feel something different, but also stay in the same kind of universe that we love.
I agree
so
with you, Jer, but I think we need to have some kind of connector. I really think
like
that there
Rey?
Needs to be
you want a little bit of
I
Rey?
Think the connector.
You want a little bit of
no,
Rey?
I don't want Rey. No. Please don't give me Rey. No, I don't want Rey.
But don't get me wrong. This will be a connector from Return of the Jedi to, you know, the First Order.
I think the connector is going to be two things. Number one, I think they're going to do some flashbacks into Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to do some pre-Vader Ahsoka shit. And I think it's going to go to a plot.
Sean, in the last episode of Rebels, in that Star Destroyer, didn't he have the Jedi Temple on that Star Destroyer?
Yes.
So that's the reason why everyone's chasing Thrawn, is that she wants to find Ezra, but those fucking like wannabe Sith Jedis, wherever they are, they're looking to get to the Jedi Temple.
Right.
So I think that's going to be like the major big plot about that too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. I think it's all going to be about the Force, about Jedi, about Kyber crystals, about uncovering the truth of the Jedi. Really the truth.
Man, dude, I just hope it's good, man. I just decent. I hope it's not like fucking shit.
I'm going to make a prediction right now.
You hope it's not Mandalorian 3.
I think it's going to be 3. I think it's going to be 3.75. I think that's where it's going to end up for us.
3.75.
It's going to be below
a few
average.
Shitty episodes, a few okay episodes,
but nothing good.
Maybe one good episode.
I'll go ahead and tell you my prediction is it's going to be a 1.5. It's every episode was written by Dave Filoni. Every episode was curated by him without Disney.
He told Disney to fuck off, and John Favreau.
Mm-hmm. But it was all Dave Filoni's writing. So I'm very excited about that portion of it.
Because
if he can pull it off, if anyone could pull off, he could pull it off.
From what I can see, if I have to rate it, I think it'll be about a 2.12.
2.12? Mm-hmm. All right.
You would do 2.12.
Jeremiah, you want to throw your prediction in?
I think it's going to be a little better than Obi-Wan Kenobi.
All right. Well, with that, that closes out our pre-Ahsoka show where we have spent and probably a lot more time than you expected us to spend developing the character of Ahsoka. We've looked at.
Please still listen to us.
We've looked at.
We also do movies also. Yeah.
Yeah. We'd love to explore other characters. And thank you so much for listening this is a pet project of ours. We want you to be excited for Ahsoka because we're excited for Ahsoka no matter what Brandon says. And we're going to watch this with vigor. And we're going to really dive into it. And we want to thank you once again. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
We've been through three different shows. What do we cover? Probably 30 episodes. I feel like we gave you a good image of who Ahsoka Tano is. And we really look forward to diving into her show next week. So
guarantee you in the first 5 minutes of this episode, the first episode, Brandon's going to like text us like, oh, this is shit. This is shit. I got $5 on this one right here.
You know what? I'll give you guys my honest, I will give you guys, not you listeners, but you guys, as I'm watching it, I'll give you guys live stream updates.
Yeah, I don't really want to. I want to watch it by myself I want to be happy.
I'll watch them 3 hours ahead of you.
This is the text we usually get from Bandit. I can't wait for it in our next episode.
I was so worried about T2. I was so worried about Terminator 2. I was like, did you like it? Like, was it okay? And he goes, I'll save it for the podcast. Like, oh, fuck. He hated it. He hated it again.
I do that with every episode.
At some point, listeners, I promise I will like something. And you have to understand, as you do, if you've seen or listened to us, if I like something, I'll die for it. But at the same time, if I don't like something, it's a pile of shit, man.
We might end the season if you don't like it. Sure.
Yeah, I mean,
dude, that one's for you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Either a fucking zero or a
that's
five.
What it is.
Here we go.
No, he'll be nice. Oh, it's not a five. It's a 4.87. Okay, I'm being nice to you. I'll see you.
It's for you, Jared.
All right, guys. Thank you, listeners.
Take care, guys.
Peace out.
Clink, clink.
Peace.
May the force be with you.
Cheers, gentlemen.